Hi, everyone, and welcome to our podcast. We have a very special podcast tonight. I'm very excited, actually.
Very excited.
I am. Well, I'm very excited about every podcast we do.
Yeah, funnily, that's me too.
Yeah.
But this one is kind of like a tribute podcast, would be fair to say. Hey.
Yes. Absolutely.
Tribute podcast. We've done podcast.
A vodcast. Is that when we have vodka and talk?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I like that. We should do a vodcast.
We should do a vodcast.
That'd be really fun at the end.
You should see Neil's eyes just go pew. Light up magically.
Had a little pearl clutch there when you did that.
We're totally doing a vodcast. Okay, so back to seriousness. Well, it's not serious because it's a joyful. This is a joyful thing for us
it
to
is.
Talk through. Should we talk about
the 10th of February marks the 46th anniversary of, I think, one of the greatest albums, arguably one of the greatest albums of all time.
Well, it's a strange saying, arguably. It's almost like, do you want to argue
with
me? Do you want to?
I know, but I guess you put that in because it's all subjective.
Yes, so it is, of course.
I can't say one of the best albums, I could say one of the best albums of all time, but that's my personal opinion.
Well, then let's do that. Let's go with your personal opinion.
What I like to say usually is one of my favourites.
Mm.
Then you can go, argue with that because it's my favourite.
Yeah. But do you realise we've actually not said?
I know.
Rabbit.
Hopefully you've seen the title and gone, thank God I know that it is Tapestry by Carole King.
Yes.
Which is...
Otherwise you'd be like, oh my God, are they ever going to say the name?
My foes.
So yes. Carole King and Tapestry. I'm wondering if we should talk a little bit about Carole, because there's some uniqueness about her that we maybe need to cover.
I love Carole so much. Can we talk about that first?
Can we? Absolutely. Let's just talk about that.
I think she's one of the greatest singer-songwriters
ever.
You know, probably, ever.
Ever. Well, she definitely, in my research, said that she was the most successful songwriter of the late 20th century. She had 118 Billboard hits, which is pretty big.
Yeah.
But you know what? I really like her for another reason.
Mm.
I reckon we could be best friends.
I reckon you could.
Yeah.
I think she'd
and
be.
I was when I was doing my reacquainting with Carole, because for some reason she wasn't on my iPod.
What?
I know. When I found out that, I was disgusted.
I don't even know who
myself.
You are anymore.
I know. I was disgusted at myself. You didn't even need to be disgusted
good,
at me.
Good, good.
But then I spent like a whole week reacquainting myself and just loved it.
Mm.
And it feels like I've found a long lost friend that I've just misplaced.
Yeah.
And now we're connected again and we're besties and it's just gorgeous.
Well, it's like any good friend that you don't necessarily see them every day, but if you see them, in 6 months, you just pick up where you left
absolutely,
off last time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's really probably the overall feeling of this album
for
definitely.
Me too.
It's just like, oh, Kaz, how you going, mate?
How you going? The other thing that I wrote down in my little notes was I kind of feel like a lot of the songs in here are kind of been there, felt that, because I think she captures the feeling probably better than most people do. And it's kind of like, I've been there, I can relate to what you're talking about, but I felt that feeling as opposed to just being there, done that.
Yeah, and that's, I think what... is the great thing about her singing voice too. I know she's described herself as she's a very accomplished piano player and technically a very good piano player. And that's how she saw herself, as a piano player and a songwriter.
Yep.
And it was only, she had to actually get quite a lot of encouragement to go, why don't you just do this album yourself?
No, I can't sing.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. And she feels the lyrics.
Yeah.
You can't teach that.
No.
Someone else can't do that.
And it feels very natural as well. So when she's singing it, it feels
like a natural.
We'll get to that one, won't we, as we go through. But it does feel very natural. I need to lay some facts on you, because,
Lay some facts. Give me some facts. I like rules and I like facts.
I know. That's why I thought, I better get some facts.
Yeah, I've got some facts. So we've got some, we can talk facts. Yeah.
Okay. Go. So in terms of her piano, she had a really good ear from a very young age.
Mm.
She was actually rolled out as a little party trick to where she could hear a note and she could name that note, which is insanely clever, because... when I was learning the trumpet, how fast you blow the air through is how the note gets played.
Mm.
And I would do that, and then I'd be like, is that a C or is that a G?
C and G are close. Yeah.
It was really hard. So that, I'm, All hail, I reckon. All hail.
I know, yeah, her hands were up bowing, yeah. Carol, just in case, hail. You know, because Carol will totally be listening. I know we say that about every guest.
Yeah, she will be for sure, because we're going to be besties by the end of this podcast, for sure.
For sure.
For sure. But then she did begin formal piano lessons at 4 because her mother just noticed that she was continuously playing and, playing around with it. So formal lessons at 4.
Yeah.
What was I doing at 4? Probably pulling my sister's hair. Eating dirt. I thought she was my baby.
Eating dirt.
That's right. She came home from the hospital. I seriously thought, this is the coolest present ever, because she came home on my birthday.
Yeah.
Her birthday is the 23rd of December, but she had some...
Oh, right. And yours is the 2nd of
January. Yeah, so it was a little bit long. Like, wow. Yeah, but she came...
Well, and they, you know, stayed in hospital for more than a night back then.
Yes, yeah, so more than one night. Get out.
Yeah.
We need so she came home on my birthday. I'm like, this is the best present ever. I have a live baby. So that was probably what I was doing it for. Going, oh my God, I got the best present ever.
Not becoming an accomplished concert pianist and, you know, future Hall of Fame, you know, Grammy Hall of Fame writer.
And annoying my mum. That would have been the two things I would have done very well at 4.
Nice. So it's some Carol factoids for you.
Oh, go with the factoids.
It was, of course, Carol Klein. Changed her name to King. She did. To, make it sort of...
More
not so Jewish.
Yes, I think that might be the key.
Yeah, which happened a lot in Hollywood too, especially in the 50s and, well, 50s after the Second World War. And you probably want to do it now. Yeah, but now you go, woohoo, it's a badge of honour, which is a great thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But yes, now that you can't go back and change it. Now that she got known as Carole King, you can't change it. Oh, look, I'll just leave it as it is.
Yep, for sure.
Some more interesting... I've got some interesting factoids, have
you?
Too.
I knew you would have factoids.
But this is about the Tapestry album itself.
Okay,
so it was released on the 10th of February 1971, which makes it 46 years old.
For those people that are
counting. And still timeless. That's the beauty of it. Yep. You can listen to it now, and you're having never heard it before, and go, wow, this is really cool. It hasn't aged... at all, I don't think.
See, I think it sounds a little 70s still, but it's part of the arrangement that happened at that time. The songs and the lyrics and the arrangement is still, well, not so much, but the way that they recorded it was it feels very 70s to me, the way that they recorded it. But I get what you're saying. It's universal.
And that's probably where I'm coming from, is more the lyrics and the song.
Yeah.
Once again, you know that I always say a great song can be sung in any genre by anyone and sound good because it's a well-written song.
Yeah,
and nearly all of these, we'll get to maybe one exception.
Yes, maybe one.
Maybe one.
But I totally agree. I bet they are beautiful lyrics.
So this album was 10 times platinum in the US, which means it sold 10 million albums 25 million albums worldwide, which is just...
phenomenal.
Incredible to think about. This album spent 15 weeks at number one on the Billboard charts, which is also incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
It won 4 Grammys. And when Carol wrote this, because she first got pregnant at 17 and got married very quickly to Jerry Goffin, who, of course, co-wrote a lot of her earlier songs, and 3 of those are on the Tapestry album. She was actually a full-time mother and songwriter and had 2 small children while she was writing this. So it wasn't just like, hey, I can just be in my creative space, you know.
Yeah.
And writing songs about you got a friend when you're going, can you just shut up, kids? Mummy's writing some songs. Yeah,
exactly. But she even talks about commuting. Like, she talks about being...
she was living in New Jersey.
Yeah. So, I mean, she feels like... and this is where I tell you, by the end of this podcast, she will totally be my best friend. It feels like she's living the life that everybody is living, as opposed to living this, as you said, creative space. You know, the nanny is looking after the kids so she can just be.
Yeah.
You know, she's
because every artist does that.
Yeah, exactly. She's creating her art in the moment that she needs to create it. So and the opportunities that she does, and it just makes it so relatable.
Mm. Although some of this too, I know she spent time in an artist commune in Los Angeles with Joni Mitchell and James Taylor, amongst others, which is when they appear on some of these tracks on the albums, which we'll talk about. Backing vocals and instruments. Obviously, James Taylor plays guitar.
He does.
It's too late. So
specifics.
I know, right? So what we're going to do is go through... Is that enough of a
love-in?
I think so. Well, there's just going to be plenty more love.
All right, that's how it's going to roll. It's love, love, love.
So there are 12 tracks on the album. We're going to go through track by track.
Track by track.
Talk about each one, why we love it.
Let's do it.
A few little interesting facts about each one. Yeah.
Well, you'll probably do facts. I'll probably do interesting. Bow! Rude. Was that rude? No, that was too rude.
Did not.
Sorry about that.
Track one. Yes. Every great album.
Did you notice everyone is just moving right along?
Moving right along. Track one. Every great album has a great first song on it. And this is a great first song.
It is an awesome first
song. I feel the earth move under my feet.
Yeah.
Which to me is all about just meeting someone and going, oh my God, I am in love.
Yeah.
And whoa.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a gorgeous love song.
Yes. Beautiful. Just even the initial piano to start with. It gets you right into it. It was number one on the Billboard charts for 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Which is good for especially a contemporary, almost at the time back then, I guess there was a lot of folky stuff too.
Yeah.
It wasn't rock, because 1971 was sort of, there's a lot of rock and easy listening stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's
and some Motown soul kind of stuff.
They're coming out of the, you know, the Beatles sort of era.
Yeah, the British Invasion.
There's still a little bit of that.
A little bit of a hangover,
of course. And then they're sort of moving towards disco, so they're kind of in that in that love-in phase. So yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know about you, but I Feel the Earth Move. One of the other versions I love of this song was Loretta Swit, Hot Lips from MASH. Sang this on The Muppet Show. I always remember that. Because
the stage all fell down.
Yeah, everything fell down. I feel the earth move and everything, the earthquake, and it went down, which is...
They took a literal.
Yes, which was kind of funny. Yeah, you know, Muppet Show did those kind of hilarious things.
I love that about Muppet Show.
Matika actually had a hit with it in 1989, which was a dancey kind of, you know...
Oh, okay.
Very... Late 80s, dancey, almost Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Watermanry.
Stock Aitken and Waterman-y. I've just turned that into an adjective.
Yeah, why not?
So it was roaring up the charts. And then in 1989, it got to about number 25 with a bullet. And then radio stations stopped playing it because there was a huge earthquake in San Francisco.
Ouch.
So they just went,
let's not have the earth.
Little inappropriate to keep trembling. Playing this on the radio. So sky, tumbling down.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But fantastic track to start the album.
It is a fantastic track. Really gets you in the groove.
Yes. So, you get into the groove, then you get to track two, which is So Far Away.
Mm. And I would probably say that this would have to be one of my most favourite songs of Carol.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. But there it is.
It is big.
So for me, this one reminds me of having friends that you kind of lose contact with over time, but you still think of them very fondly and you would love to hear from them.
Mm.
You know, so it's almost like a call out there, almost saying, if you feel at all interested in, you know, getting in touch with me, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just, it's magic. It's magically written.
And the separation of distance as well in this is, you know, to me it's a bit of I would really love to be with you, but I'm not because we're either on the sides of the world, other sides of the country, or I'm traveling a lot and doing my thing.
Yeah.
Actually, this was the track that James Taylor did the guitar on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just a beautiful. Beautiful song.
And it's one of those songs that. In anyone that's been listening to our podcast before, I've talked about that I can just, in my head, just play it without, it'll just be there. So it's one of those songs that I, word for word, and it's just there.
Yeah.
And it just, when you, it's going to sound really odd, but almost when you need it, it's kind of there, this song saying, it's okay. And I find it very calming in the way that it's written. And
I love the lyrics as well. It's just... Beautifully written lyrics, as are nearly all the songs.
Well, actually, all of them, Do you have any factoids you need to lay down?
No, the only factoid I had on here was that it peaked at number 14 on the singles chart, but it had sort of, back in the day, because we're old enough to remember this, where you had the A side and the B side.
Yes.
The A side and the B side. The B side was, I will find it, one of the others.
I did see that, one of my references. I actually kept it open. Because I was fascinated.
Oh, it was on the first Smackwater Jack, which we'll talk about later.
Let's talk about that later.
But yeah, so it was, even as a single, and again, it's not the sort of single that you go out and buy the single. To me, it's more an album track. But it's a great, it's just a great song.
It is a good song. Yeah. So for anyone out there that may have lost contact with me over time, this is just a gentle reminder saying you are more than welcome back into my life. More than welcome.
Nice.
So, it's too late.
Track three. It's too late, baby, now. It's too late. Though we really did try to make it. What I love about this, I've got in my note, it's a really mature breakup song.
It is. I said, even when she breaks up with you, she does it so nicely.
Yeah. It's not even like a, you know, Alanis Morissette. Yeah. You know, I hate your guts and I still haven't got over this and I'm just going to be really angsty for a long time.
Yeah.
This is just like, you know, okay. And in the musical, beautiful, the Carole King story.
Yeah, let's get to talk about that later, but hey, let's talk about it now.
Coming to Australia in September this year.
Yeah.
It's actually one of the later songs when you know, she's married to Jerry Goffin and Eddie explores that relationship and how they work with Cynthia Vale and her husband at the time. So the four of them were writing a whole lot of songs. But you see that in the show, Jerry Goffin kind of has a few little dalliances on the side that she doesn't know about, and eventually it's like, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know,
just
your heart is sitting there breaking, going, oh, how could you do that to Carol? And they didn't make him out to be a bad, too much of a bad guy either. It was just like, we've just kind of moved in different directions, and look, we did actually give it a good go. We had some good, we did some good stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Let's just.
Yeah. What I also like is that if somebody's going to write a musical about you, you're a legend. That's like the best thing that could ever happen. Yeah, somebody wrote a musical about you.
The Boy from Oz, beautiful.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate of praise and glory. So yeah,
no, I was very fortunate to have seen Beautiful last time I was.
Yeah, I'm
last
really time I was on Broadway.
Last time I was in New York.
Yeah, Nantraper.
Yeah. This was also another one that went to number one on the charts, I think people also identified with that.
So that's what I mean by the, when I said before, being there felt that. Because this feels like one of those, very much so.
And again, she's feeling every word of it too, and that's what comes through in the music.
Yeah, she's so natural about it.
Mm.
Shall we move to the next track, sweetie?
Next track, Home Again.
Mm.
So just a nice, nice kind of song.
Yeah.
Not one of the big marquee songs from the album.
Marquee.
Really, it's about...
interesting choice of words.
It's a word.
Yes, it is a word.
For me, it's just sort of about missing someone and wanting to be back with them.
Yeah.
You know, wishing you were home again.
Yeah.
Again, quite... not quite melancholy, but a little... heading in that direction a little bit.
For sure.
But yeah, so you have sort of... I Feel the Earth Move, that's, you know, quite upbeat.
Yep.
So Far Away is
so
a little
quieter.
Yeah.
I've Got Ya.
It's Too Late's a bit more upbeat, a little, but with a different reason. Then Home Again's, you know, just taking it down a few notches again. And
but
then,
it's almost like love, missing you, don't love you anymore, missing you.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And then you get to track five, which is beautiful.
I know. And this is where I've kind of gone, you know what? This, we're going to be best friends, because she has the same life philosophy as me, in that go out there into the world, be positive and show all the love in your heart.
Yes.
And you know me very well, so you know I do show all the love in my heart.
All of it.
And it doesn't matter if it gets stomped on and trodden on, I still go, you know what? I'm going to be that way and I don't care. So all the love in my heart. So yeah, absolutely. We could so be best friends.
And I was reading a bit about this, that it said it came to Carol spontaneously. She was sitting on a train.
Yeah.
And I know you talk about, you know, with your musicians and, and in your book, Working Your Mojo.
Thanks.
I know, right? Do you like that, little strategic placement?
It's perfect.
That when the inspiration comes at different times to different people, different places... And this one to Carole King was while she was on a train and realising while she was riding the subway in New York that the way she perceived others reflected how she felt.
Yep.
Yes.
And I really love that about it, because this is one of the things where you kind of look around and you just see all these sad people.
Mm.
Why?
And just, yes, yeah, so show the world that show you're the world. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outward looks aren't actually quite as important as...
Yeah.
But yeah, and talking about when the moment strikes for musicians.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. Freddie Mercury wrote Crazy Little Thing Called Love. He was in the bath.
Yeah.
And just went, oh, I've got this like cool idea for a song. 10 minutes later, bang, whole song done.
Yeah. And in Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic, she talks about how she believes that there's like this creative spirit and it kind of comes to you and it sort of taps you on the shoulder and goes, hey, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready for me now? And then it'll hang around for a little bit, but if you don't do anything with it, it just goes away. Mm. And she talks about, in particular, about, I can't remember the other author's name, but she had this idea for a book and she didn't do anything about it because there was things happened Elizabeth Gilbert didn't.
Mm.
And it left her and it ended up with this other lady and it's exactly the book. It's like exactly, wow. Like some really unique components to it that there is no way it couldn't be. So it really kind of feels like that creative idea has kind of gone, actually, you're not going to do anything with it, so I'm going to take it and give it to somebody else.
It's like the creative train just went, right, I'm going to go to the next station because you're not going to get on right now.
Yeah, you're not picking up.
Come back.
Yeah, so it's just, it's a fascinating thought experiment.
Take that opportunity when that shit happens. That's
what you're
saying.
Which is what these people have done. They've, you know, they've gone, here is the inspiration, I've got it now, I'm just going to use it. And I hear that things like Cliff Richard. Oh my God.
What?
Okay. Whew, I don't know where that came from. Keith Richard.
Okay.
Keith Richards. There we go. Yeah. Keith Richards. Wow. Blah, blah, blah. How many wines have I had? I only had one.
You're having young ones flashbacks at Cliff Richard.
Anyway, so Keith will wake up at ungodly hours after he's probably been doing.
Well, and ungodly hours for him are like, 11:30 in the morning.
Yes, probably. And he even stops interviews. He goes, hang on a second. And he just has to get it down straight away when the inspiration hits him, whenever it hits him. He just captures it immediately. He'll grab his guitar, right, okay, got it. So it's really kind of taking that, going, the inspiration is here right now, I'm going to use it right now.
Wow.
Rather than waiting. So, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Track six.
Yeah, track six, Way Over Yonder.
Way Over Yonder.
Way Over Yonder. Sorry. Yeah.
I'd say this one's probably a little bit country, a little bit gospel.
It's you're pulling a face.
It's not quite sure what it wants to be.
But it's got good sax on it.
It's really slow.
Which probably sounded really bad if you're listening to that quickly.
Sax.
Good saxophone.
Yes. This is Carol going to a happy place,
yeah.
I think. It's just, I'm just going to go over there and just chill.
And if
out
anyone was curious, I did do some research on that because I was very, very interested.
Yeah.
Terry King. Sure, we all know who Terry King is.
Mm.
Maybe not. But I think it's...
No relation.
No. Yeah, maybe not. But I really love the fact that it gives a richness to it.
Mm.
Oh, and Perry Steinberg also did tenor sax, so two tenors, that's interesting.
Mm. Okay, cool.
For just interesting facts. Okay, keep going.
So then we get to track seven, one of the biggest tracks, not only on this album, but in
So Far Away and this
history.
One are like almost tied. I
this one for me is probably my favourite Carol.
Be cool now.
Probably, I said.
You did.
I put a tiny little disclaimer in there, but just in case. This actually was a number one song. James Taylor released it as well.
Yes.
And it was a number one for him in the same year.
Wow, that's interesting.
Like people went, yep, I'm going to buy Carol's and make it number one. They went, yeah, I'm going to buy James's and make it number one as well.
Yeah.
And both versions are beautiful. I mean, I love James Taylor's voice as well. Yeah. And it's really suited to these kind of songs.
Definitely.
And, you know, they were kind of hanging around. They never actually got married.
No.
But they were, Carol had four husbands. But James Taylor wasn't one of them.
Oh.
It was just a creative thing.
So, and particularly there's lyrics like running to see you again and be there, yes I will. You just get
you
the
just
sense.
Call out my name. It's like you don't even just, you know, I'll be there.
Yeah. And
you need me to be there, I'll be there.
Yeah. This is a true friend.
Yes. Yes.
This is someone that you go, you just call and I'll be there, which is just awesome.
And I saw a quote from James Taylor saying, Carole King said she wrote this song in response to his song Fire and Rain. There's a line in that says, I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend.
Yeah.
So she's written this song called Oh, You've Got a Friend.
I'm here.
You know, I'm here. Hey.
Always.
Yeah. Which I think is just so beautiful.
It is beautiful. And it's almost like a response she's making to it as well. So it's just gorgeous.
Mm.
Alrighty. Will you love me tomorrow?
No, I think you've missed one.
Oh, my God. Oh, I probably have.
Where You Lead.
Yes. Thank you. I will follow.
Yes. Again, going a bit more off, you've got a friend and you've kind of, you know, clearing up the tears that have been streaming down your face, depending on what mood you're in. Yeah. Or waving your face because you're overclamped.
Overclamped.
Where You Lead's a little bit more, you know, up-tempo, but it's, you know, Where You Lead, I Will Follow.
Yeah.
Sort of, there was a whole feminist movement at the time and,
yeah,
and she was sort of taking the piss out of it and being a bit light-hearted, I think.
Okay, because even the flower boxes in the windows, and a bit of you in New York City, you know, that it's just, it really is saying I love you and it's okay, we'll work wherever we need to be. So.
Yeah, yeah. To me, you know, the downside of this is that it became the theme song for the Gilmore Girls, the TV show.
Yeah, you didn't kind of like that, did you?
I tried to like the Gilmore Girls. I watched it a little bit.
Whether it's a girl's show.
I don't even think, well, you know, I have no problem with girly shows, you know.
No, I know.
But to me, it's the dialogue in the show. This is what I've worked out.
Okay.
So you go, wait, why are we talking like this? We're not talking like this. Yes, we're talking like this. I don't think we are talking like this. I don't care. Just stop talking like that.
Oh, yes.
Stop it.
I could see that.
It was the scripting of the show, and that's what I worked out. I went, that's why this show annoys me. You know, sorry, Gilmore Girls, just not my thing. But Carole King actually also had a recurring role as Aunt Sally.
Somebody.
Or someone. Yeah. So not only did she obviously liked the show enough to be coming into it every so often, which is kind of cool as well.
Cool.
Just, as I said, not
your cup of tea?
Now I hear the song and go, Gilmore Girls. So it's kind of ruined it a little bit.
Oh, you got to change that association.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I think
it's like the Paul Kelly song from, what is it? Big Things Grow, from A Little Big Things Grow.
Which is now the superannuation, the industry super thing.
It ruined me for a little while, but now they're not doing it anymore, so that's good. Now they've just got the Paul Ben Lee one doing the same thing, so it's like, okay, just get over people, because can we get the music back?
If you listen to the whole album as a chunk, this sort of comes up and, you know, you're in Carole mode, so that's okay.
Yeah,
but if you just hear it by itself, you're like, oh, the Gilmore, like, you know, I instinctively want to get a remote and change the channel.
Oh, wow, it's that bad for you. It's almost like we need to have an intervention tie you down.
Yeah.
Play it over and over again.
Not, yeah.
Like the young ones again when you go to hell and they play Barry Manilow. Until you're just like, ears are bleeding. Anyway,
yes.
That's not quite what we're after here, because that's not what Carole does to you. She doesn't make your ears bleed, for sure.
Now,
Will You Love Me
Tomorrow? Will You Love Me Tomorrow? Yes.
With Joni Mitchell and
James Taylor
doing backing vocals.
On backing vocals, yes.
And I love the combination of their two voices, actually, in the backing vocals. It's quite
does work really well.
It does very well, beautifully. So.
And this was also this is of course one of the songs that she sang with her, at the time, ex-husband Jerry Goffin. So they actually wrote it for the Shirelles. It was a hit in 1960.
Yes.
And the Shirelles were the first all-female group to have a number one on the US charts. All-female.
Weren't they also...
They're also all-black.
Yes, that's what I was
thinking. But even before you considered that, they were the first all-female of any...
Oh, good on them.
Anything.
Go the Shirelles.
But again, great song. At the time, though, because you think the lyrics are, you know, we've had some bounce chicka chicka wow the night before, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And... That was probably really, I would think it'd be really controversial at the time. Apparently some very Christian radio stations didn't play the song.
Okay.
And even when it came out again, they didn't like the song. I do, the other thing I had in here, two other notes I had in here. One, it's a little bit slower again. She changes the pace as well. It's not a whole lot of depressing, or not depressing, but a whole lot of slower, sad songs. And then a whole lot of happy ones. The order has been very deliberate and very considered.
It's very interesting.
Mm.
Particularly, I really quite like the order in that she's done it. Because it's got a real flow to it in terms of So you can hear them back to back and back to back and back to back.
Exactly.
And they just,
you listen to it as an album. Flow. They crafted an album. It absolutely. Wasn't just, I threw a whole lot of songs on there.
Yeah.
I put the best, the second best one at the first one.
Yeah.
So that you'd listen to the second and third tracks. Then I'll put the best one somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So that the worst one. Especially on vinyl, because you couldn't be bothered lifting the needle up, because that's how old we are. The other thing I had about this might go in our misheard song lyrics. There's a line in this that says, "Can I believe the magic of your sighs?"
Right.
As in, S-I-G-H.
Yeah.
I thought it was the magic of your S-I-Z-E,
which
has a whole different meaning. Oh, God, your sighs is so magic. And then will you still love me tomorrow, you know, after I do all that?
Okay. Well, that's, okay.
Yeah, so I was actually, you know, once I looked the words up, it was only years later I looked the words up and went, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, phew.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all this way. Now, I'm worried that I'm a little bit out of order. So what's the next one?
No, we're up to number 10. Smack Water Jack.
Oh, okay. I am a little in my list in terms of going this way laterally.
Okay.
Slightly out of order. Okay, Smack Water Jack. Yeah.
Smack Water Jack.
This is a fascinating song for me.
Yeah.
Because did she know she was talking about neuro leadership and neuroscience? I don't think so.
I didn't know she was talking about
She so was.
Okay.
Do you want to be schooled?
School me.
So there's a lyric that you can't talk
to a man with a shotgun in his hand, which actually seems like common sense.
Or understand him. It is common sense because...
Actually, I like to call it sense because it's actually not that common. Sorry.
I like it. I like it very much. The part of your brain called the amygdala, which is the one that regulates your fight and flight.
Yeah.
And fuck, actually. So... Swore! We didn't think we were going to swear in Carol, but there you go. Anyway, it regulates that part of the brain. Yep. Now, what happens when it's a little tiny little bean that sits underneath your head? When it happens, it actually hijacks your prefrontal cortex, which is the part that sits behind your forehead. That's why I'm pointing to it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
everyone
she's pointing
can
to
see
her forehead,
that.
Everybody.
It actually hijacks it.
Decision-making.
So, yes, yeah. High-level reasoning, decision-making, blah, blah, blah. So it shuts it off. So it literally says, I don't need you, go away, I've got this.
And sleep.
Yeah, so it shuts it off. So they call it an amygdala hijack because it just takes it away.
Mm.
And which means you literally cannot reason with somebody when they're in that state. You cannot. It's not possible. There's no reasoning there. Like, it's switched off.
Wow.
So it's like when I was listening to this, I'm like, oh, my God, this is like neuroscience happening right here. It's just fascinating.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
There you go. And here was I thinking it was just a bit of comic relief on the album.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not comic because someone killed a whole lot of people.
Yeah,
and
which is not pleasant.
Kind of got hanged at the end without much of a trial.
But there you go.
Yes.
So... And the thing that I find even more fascinating about neuroscience is intuitively, we all know this.
Mm.
Okay, maybe you and I know this and a whole bunch of people know this. There's some people who don't know this.
Yes.
But intuitively, if somebody is in a rage, you're not going to be able to go, oh, hang on a second.
You know what?
Yeah.
Stop that. That's bad.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Let's rap about this. Yeah.
Just let them get it out. Let them express, obviously not shooting people because that's not good.
No.
In any way, shape, or form, but just let them vent it, get it out of their system. Once it's out of their system, the amygdala is not hijacked. You can then go, okay.
So how does the amygdala switch off?
So there's another chemical. I can't remember which one it is. Noradrenaline or... Anyway, there's another chemical that comes in. And
Nora
comes
in and says, okay, dude, Nora. You know what? We're just going to... You're done. You've
I think
done
it also is like a... It's got a certain capacity of... And then it just gets exhausted.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know. There you go. Who would have thought we were talking about neuroscience with Carole King?
Yeah.
Tapestry,
so, there you go. It also reminds me of Jim Croce, which is my other thing.
I love Jim Croce.
Yeah.
I love Photographs and Memories. Album is so...
Maybe
we can talk about that
one day. I'll add it to the list.
Okay. The other thing with this, and again, mixing things up, this one's a little bit honky-tonk.
Yeah, it is.
A little bit. But it's very different to the rest of the album because it's a story. It's a completely made-up story. It's not personal feelings, personal connection, things that have happened in her life. It's just a... Okay, it's almost like a... okay, Carol's scheduled to have a break now, and we're just going to have a just going to get someone else in to sing a song or two while she has, you know, her designated break, and she'll be back for the next one.
Or she's gone. Whew, this has been so serious. I'm just going to have a little bit of fun.
Let's just have a bit of fun here.
Sure, it's about shooting people, but hey, you know, let's just.
Yeah, go. But it's kind of fun as well. Oldie stuff that happened all the time. Yes, yes. So yes.
All right.
And that was also, that was one of the three that was written with Jerry Goffin, her ex. So, because they were already, songs that had been released, and she re-released them for this album. So it was Smack What a Jack, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, and...
Oh, what's that, the other one? Where is it? Maybe that's the one I missed.
Oh, no, we'll come up to it. It's coming up in two songs.
Okay. Oh, yes, it is two.
Yes.
Correctamundo.
So, title song track. 11. Tapestry.
Tapestry, the title track. Weirdly enough,
a track called Tapestry on the album called Tapestry.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting because it wasn't the biggest song or what everybody thinks is the best song on it. But it symbolically, it was for her, I think for Carol, was the... My life is a tapestry and it's got a whole lot of different stuff on it. That's what this album is. It's kind of my life.
Yes.
I've woven different things in there for my life. And then just whack Smack Water Jack in the middle.
Yeah.
But
she could have come across a Smack Water Jack, you never know.
You never know.
It's our little fun moment.
Well,
let's go honky tonk, baby.
Yeah, so I loved that the album was called Tapestry from this track because, that's what it was.
Yeah, definitely. About. And I find it particularly poetic. It feels like a story in its. Did you write the same words?
Yes.
Wow, how
about that? I love the poetry in it and the, you know, the whole metaphor that she's got going.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The unraveling. It's extremely descriptive. You really see it. Mm. Did you know that in the album cover, so the iconic.
Sitting on the window ledge with the cat there. Yeah.
That between her legs is actually a tapestry that she had created.
Ooh.
I knew something new to know. How exciting.
Nice.
So, yeah, there you go.
The other thing I love it, what I was thinking about with this song was there's a man that she meets on the road and sings about him, and it says that the man turns into a toad.
Yeah.
You're thinking, I wonder if she's singing about her ex-husband, or he was very recently ex-husband, you know, when she was writing all this.
Could have been.
Don't know.
It feels like a life story, this one.
It does, and it's the music matches it beautifully.
Yeah, it's magical. Very well done.
Yes.
And so
then
the last one.
You know, I said possibly my favourite song before. Oh. This is also possibly my favourite song.
Okay, rightio.
This is a huge anthem. This is huge.
This is huge. Yes.
You make me feel like a natural woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I found surprising about this is I actually thought, because it's famous for Aretha,
and rightfully so.
And rightfully so.
Aretha, oh my God, I love Aretha.
Yeah.
Her voice is one of the best ever.
I agree. And maybe we need to have another Aretha moment as well.
Yep.
But I actually think Carol carries soulful in this.
Yes. Yes.
And it's one of those things where you're kind of like, whoa, I'm so surprised that you're doing this so soulfully, considering you've kind of got the Aretha version in your head.
Especially after it'd been a hit for Aretha, because you don't want to be the person singing that song after Aretha's just sang the shit out of it, right?
Absolutely.
But I guess when, again, because it was her song, she again wrote it with her ex. And actually, interestingly, Jerry Wexler, who was the big Atlantic Records producer, who was like a big, one of those big, back in the day.
Back in the door.
He's actually credited as one of the co-writers on this, because he had this thing. He said, I want a song for Aretha that sings about a natural woman.
Yes. Oh.
And he kind of went, I'll tell Carol and Jerry and I'll let them do all the rest. And as he was thinking about this, he was in the car somewhere in New York. And he saw Carole King on the street. So he wound his window down and went, Carol, I need you to write a song about a natural woman for Aretha. And they got to wound his window up and drove off.
Okay.
And so,
well,
yes.
They did well to stick to the script, hey? Stick to the contract. Okay, this is what you need to do. Write a song about natural woman. Okay, we will.
Okay, for Aretha again. Yeah. Okay, so I can pretty much put any note in there and she'll be able to sing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a beautiful track to end on. It's a real kind of
it is.
High
again, and it's a love song.
Yes, it's not very much so.
You know, there's no question about will you still love me tomorrow because...
Well, you're a natural woman, baby.
Yeah, you've already made her feel like that.
Absolutely.
So, yes, I was very pleased that this is one of the songs that she brought back for this as well.
Yes, I think so too. I think she's got a well-rounded album.
And, of course, like a lot of the songs, they've all been covered by different artists different times because they're really well-written songs.
They are well-written. Yeah. And to the point... They're actually playable as well. So I practice on the piano. I'm by no means a musician, but I'm learning the piano and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's very fun to do when I'm learning a lot and it's really quite taxing for my brain, which is good, I suppose. Yeah. Well, now that I said that taxing, out loud. Yeah.
Taxing is never a good word.
Okay.
Maybe it's a good challenge for your brain.
It is. And I also, I've gotten to the point now in my skill level where I actually find when I practice, it's a soothing process. I really look forward to it and I feel really calm at the end of it. Like it's...
Because you get a single point of focus. You get into the zone and everything else gets shut out.
Absolutely. So I totally get it. And looking at some of the sheet music for this, which, as you know, I've...
Because you've just gone off and bought the sheet music.
Because I've fallen in love with Carol as my friend again. So I've got to buy her sheet music. Isn't that what you do when you've got friends? You support what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be doing that. I do that.
Yeah. I know you do. So it's actually the arrangement is elegant. It's not over complicated. It's just, it's beautifully and elegant. So I'm really looking forward to having a bit of a play, literally.
Whilst we are, we're sadly at the end of the album, which I know, but you know, you can always just play it again.
Yes.
It's also one of those songs, like it's a rainy day outside.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pot around, do a few things in the house. You can just have it on and go, God,
it's actually ridiculously good for reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've played it a few times while
I don't
reading
read a lot anymore, so I don't. But music, see, I know.
Okay.
I used to. My mother was a librarian.
I know.
And I read too much as a child. And actually, I get really annoyed because I get so deeply into a book that the minute anyone says, Neil, I go, what? And I used to get really angry that people would take me out of there. So I went, that's it, I'll just stop.
Reading. Oh, so don't let that be the excuse.
I know.
Because, I'm the same.
But
I
music's
go,
my thing now. So now
well,
I just
go straight into the book as well. And
I couldn't have music and book.
Yeah, you can have both.
Music would win.
Well, I always have this little debate with myself, and I've talked to other people about it.
Do you have a debate with yourself?
Yeah. Don't you?
As captain for the affirmative, I'm going to say... Well, that's an interesting point. However, I don't know. I can just see you having a debate and team thing with yourself. Yeah.
One of the things I always think about is there's two things that I love in my life, probably above everything else. Music and books or knowledge and reading.
And Trev.
Oh, yes, of course I love Trev. So three things I love in my life. But I think of the books and the music and the books, I kind of go, would I be okay if I was blind or deaf? So deaf means I can't listen to the music. I could feel it still, but I can't listen to it. Mm-hmm. Blind means I can't necessarily read the book. I mean, I could do audiobooks. So there is other ways around it. But I just, in my head, I'm kind of like, for me, I can't imagine being without either. It's for me, it's a very, but you, maybe you can go, yeah, I'll be okay to be blind because I can hear and I don't know, but I just, I don't know.
Tough one.
Maybe something for the listeners to think about.
I thought I would finish on, so yes, Tapestry,
yes,
one of both of our favourite albums ever.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yep.
Absolutely. Carol's songwriting ability didn't end there with this.
It didn't end? No,
and
no,
it still hasn't ended. I know she's written hundreds of songs for lots of other people as well. Some of the big songs that you may or may not have known that Carole King actually wrote. So The Locomotion.
That one's a bit weird.
Which is kind of a weird song, but it I think, well, back then, and again, Beautiful, the musical, explains this a little bit.
Oh.
So she wrote that, she was about 16. No, she wrote her first song... One Fine Day. No, it might as well run until September.
Yeah.
When she was 16.
Yeah.
So she had the ability there. Yeah. It was, you know, but she wrote a lot of those 50s Motown, or, you know, for the Platters and those kind of groups, the Shirelles, the anything Shirelles. That started with the. Surely you'd like them all. They started with
See, the. I'm telling you, we're besties. Besties, for sure.
So she was writing songs for other people from an early age, but that was the thing at the time. Yeah, yeah. And that was her, you know, because she was writing a lot of, you know, talking about soulful before.
Yeah, yeah.
She wrote a lot of soul songs.
Yeah, for sure.
So Take Good Care of My Baby. One Fine Day.
Yeah,
One Fine Day. Gonna... And Up on the Roof, which was a big song for the Platters or the Drifters, one of those.
Ooh, you don't know?
Great song.
Don't just know which
can't think. Well, back then too, a lot of them sang each other's songs.
Sure, that's the excuse you're going with.
There was about five. Suddenly, you had three teasing. Versions of the song teasing, that were out at the same teasing. Time. So there were some incredible songs that she wrote. She'd written before that too, and she and Jerry Goffin actually, you know, the marriage didn't work out, but they were actually really good
songwriters
together.
Yeah,
because I think Carol wrote a lot of the music and Jerry wrote a lot of the lyrics at the time. So yes.
There you go.
That was our little...
Rounding it out.
Chat so, about tapestry.
26 years or so older than me and on a completely other continent. But I'm sure she'll listen to our podcast and go, you know what, Quirky and
me. You've got a friend.
You've got a friend. Carol, you have a friend
You
in
have
me.
Two very good friends here,
Very
Carol.
Good friends. I'm very pleased that I've been reacquainted with you. I can't believe that I let you disappear from my life, so that will never happen again.
I'll make sure that doesn't happen again, Carol.
Thanks, Carol. Do we want to talk about the next podcast?
So next podcast, because this was our 10th podcast.
This is our 10th. We're into double figures. Oh, we forgot to celebrate.
I know.
Yeah, well, we did actually, because we had some sparklings.
Yes, that's all good. So number 11.
Number 11 is super creepy.
Songs that are super creepy, but not intending to be.
No.
And we've got some very good ones in there. The ones you'd probably expect and some ones you wouldn't expect.
It'll be a fun time.
So look out for that one as well. Thank you for joining us today and letting us share tapestry with you, which I'm always pleased to share.
Yes.
We'll see you again next time.
Shortly.